You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beis Shemesh Israel, 5786-2026. This week in Chutz La'aretz, you're going to read Behaloscha, and in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to read Shlach. And I'd like to share with you a thought that connects the two Parshias. At the very end of Parshas Behaloscha, the Torah tells us about Miriam and Aaron, and tells us how they spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. But to daughter Miriam, chapter 12, verse 1. Miriam spoke with Aaron. Miriam and Aaron spoke with Moshe about Moshe. Al odos ha'isha kushas ha'shalokach, ki'isha kushas lokach. About the woman that he had married. Usually, kushis means a black woman. But it's referring, Chazal tells us, to Zipporah, his wife. And as we'll see, there was something that Moshe was doing different to Aaron and Miriam. They said, did Hashem only speak to Moshe? Hashem has spoken to us as well. They, as the Mufarshim explained, they felt that Moshe should not have separated from his wife. They felt that they were on the same level as Moshe. They also received Nevuah. Hashem also spoke to them. But they didn't have to separate from their spouses. But Hashem heard this. Moshe was very humble. Maybe the pasuk is saying that it's not like Moshe needed retribution. So Hashem suddenly appears to the three of them and says, go to the Ohel Moed. Go to the place where I speak to you. And the three of them went out. Hashem appears in a cloud, which means to say he shows his presence. And the cloud stood at the entrance. And it called out to Aaron and Miriam. And two of them came out. And it said, Hashem said, hear my words. Hashem, you need to know, Hashem says to them, that there's a qualitative and substantive difference between your type of nevuah, your type of prophecy, and Moshe's. With you, I appear in a dream. And I might speak in a way which is not per se clear. And we find also by other prophets that they had a vision, and the vision had a certain mushel, an analogy in it, a boiling pot, hot water boiling over the north side, stuff like that. Hashem says to them, it's not true of my servant Moshe. In all of my house, he is faithful, which means to say, it's a different kind of nevuah. His vision, the way that Hashem speaks to him, is more clear. Pe'al pe'a daber boy, umare v'le b'chidois, usunas Hashem yabit. I speak to him mouth to mouth. It's like we're face to face, so to speak. And I show him clearly there's no riddles. He sees the true picture of Hashem. The way Chazal put it is, Moshe Rabbeinu had an aspaklai ha-me'ira. He had a clear looking glass. Why were you not afraid? So Hashem gets angry at them. And Miriam gets tzaras as a result of it. And the psukim speak about the fact that they waited there 7 days. The Jewish people waited there 7 days. And I will add, by the way, I saw it brought down that the 7 days that they waited were the 7 days that are coming up right now, the end of Sivan. The story of the spies happens on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, right? They are sent out on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. They return on Tisha B'Av. Klal Yisrael cries on the night of Tisha B'Av, but they were sent out 40 days earlier, which is either Rosh Chodesh Tammuz or maybe a day or two before. But the 7 days of waiting for Miriam happened at this exact point in the month. Today is Chav Sivan, the 20th of Sivan. Over the next few days is when this was going on. Miriam and Aaron speak about Moshe, and she's given saras, and Klal Yisrael waits for her for 7 days. And Moshe Rabbeinu prays for her, but the bottom line is that we see that Miriam speaks negatively of her brother. She sees a certain thing. She thinks a certain thing. And because of the way that she sees things, her understanding of reality causes her to say something negative about Moshe. And in a certain sense, there was a hubris. Obviously, you know, Miriam, it was Neviah. Miriam is one of the Geula team people. She was a Mashiach person. Miriam and Moshe and Aaron. But on her level, there was a speck of pride. Why is Moshe different than us? Why is he behaving differently than us? Why is he separating from his spouse? So as a result of that, Miriam got tsaras. And because of the tsaras, they waited 7 days. And that, of course, leads in to the beginning of Parshas Shlach. Beginning of Parshas Shlach, so we have the 10 men who are sent. I point out that they're men because I want to share with you a Kli Yukar that says it would have been better if the women were sent. 10 women, 12 women. The 12 men, I'm thinking 10 because of the 10 who did the Avera. 12 men, including Kalev and Yoshua, who spoke positively of Eretz Yisrael, they were sent. And the Medrash says that they made a mistake that was put right next to the story of Miriam, because it's a similar mistake and they didn't learn from Miriam. This is a famous Rashi, but Rashi quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says like this. It's interesting, the language of the Medrash. Shlach lecha noshim yasur, batadaber Miriam va'aron v'moisha. Pasuk says, previously, we just saw, Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe, v'achar kach shlach lecha. Immediately after that story, Torah tells us about the sending of the spies. Zeshem ha'kasav lo yodu v'lo yovinu kitach mir oiseinem. Now here's an important thing. And I specifically stressed it earlier when I said the way that she saw things, Miriam spoke, based on the way that she saw things. And the spies as well spoke based on the way that they saw things. It's an important concept. We're going to have a powerful message and lesson for us. Pasuk says in Yeshaya, they didn't know, they didn't understand, because they spread in their eyes something that would cover up their eyes. The bias that they had, Chazal tell us about the Meraglim, about the spies, why did they speak negatively of Eretz Yisrael? They were afraid. They were afraid they would lose their position. Maybe they were afraid that Klal Yisrael wouldn't be able to make it in Eretz Yisrael. But they were afraid, and as a result of their fear, they saw things differently. They saw things in the wrong way. It's an important thing for us to know. Often the way that we see things is tainted by our ego, tainted by our hubris, tainted by our bias. But the description of the pasuk that the Medrash brings is that they spread a type of covering on their eyes, like an eye lotion. Why do we have one story following another? Hashem knew, Hashem saw that they're going to speak Lashon Hara about the land of Israel. It's one after the other in chronology as well. Hashem says, I don't want them to ever say we didn't know the punishment of speaking Lashon Hara. When you see a physical manifestation of a spiritual disease, right? So you understand that this thing is bad and it has immediate and powerful impacts. And I would point out that the punishment wasn't just that she got tsaras, because the tsaras was removed right away. The punishment was that Klal Yisrael had to wait. Klal Yisrael waited for 7 days because of her. There was, that 7 days that they waited was 7 extra days that they would have been closer to Eretz Yisrael. They could have moved already on their way to Eretz Yisrael. They lost 7 days. Why? Because of Lashon Hara. And then the spies should have learned from that if you say Lashon Hara, it creates a negative impact. It creates a global negative impact on Klal Yisrael. And just like we waited 7 days for Miriam, we're going to wait 40 years because of the spies. Okay, the Medrash says the issue was that what was her punishment that she got tzaras? You need to know the punishment for Lashon Hara. You mistake manas la Miriam. You should look at what happened to Miriam. They didn't want to learn from that. They didn't understand. They didn't look into the matter. So the question becomes, well, I have biases. I have hubris. I have ego. I'm a human. What's the etza? How do we get out of this? How do we get out of this? So with that, I want to share with you a Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar says this amazing thing that it says in the pasuk that he sent men. It would have been better if he sent women. Why? So he says like this, Davar Acher, Lekach Parat Anoshim, he brings from a Yalkut Shemayni, from a Medrash, Levishama Razel, HaAnoshim Ayu Sainim Es Haaretz. The men hated the land of Israel. They were the ones who said, when push came to shove, let's go back to Egypt. We were better off in Egypt. We find that women were those who made the land of Israel dear. They were endeared. The land of Israel was dear to them. How do we know that? Where do we see that? When it came to giving out the portions of the land of Israel to the different tribes, there was a family, a group of women. They had no brothers. They were the Benois Tzilafchad. And when they saw that Eretz Yisrael was being distributed, they said, hey, what about us? We also want a portion in Eretz Yisrael. What about us? They were Mechavavois. They had a love for Eretz Yisrael. And I would say it this way. The spies saw Eretz Yisrael, but there was a hatred. That's what he's saying. There was a fear of Eretz Yisrael. The language he uses is hatred. There was a negative way that they looked at Eretz Yisrael, and as a result of that, they came back with a negative report. But women, and I don't know if it sounds like from the measure that this is true of all women, they have a natural capacity to love, right? The mother, where does the child go? Right, the child goes to the loving mother. Naturally, the women have that ability to look at any child and say, my child is amazing, right? They love their kid. They don't notice the chesrinus. Someone tells them, oh, your kid did this and that and the other. No, my kid can't be my kid, right? Because a parent, a mother, has natural love for the child and sees only the good. Otherwise, we should only see the good in our kids. But the women had a natural love for Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says, look, I know what's going to happen in the future. It would have been better if you would have sent women to be the ones to spy out the land of Eretz Yisrael, because they're the ones who have a natural affinity for Eretz Yisrael. They see the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. They don't think about all the problems. I don't need to enumerate today what issues might be. But the women have the capacity to see the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. What an amazing thing it is. We can go to the Kaisel. We can go there anytime. We have a special relationship with Hashem. Every time we are in our garden, we're being Mekayim, the mitzvah, or any place we go, every Dalet Amos, every four cubits you walk, fulfilling a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. When you go and you pick off your lemons from your lemon tree, you gotta take off Trumas and Maestras. Eretz Yisrael, Mechavavois, unbelievable, what an opportunity, what an amazing place to live. That was the power. That was the power that women had. They had the ability to use their heart in a positive way to see things. They had the ability to have a natural positive bias towards Eretz Yisrael. We can see things, and as a result of our bias, we see things differently. That's one aspect that I want to talk about. Pasuk says, Lecho Omar Libi Bakshufonai. Pasuk says in Ludavid, we say it during Elul. My heart has the ability to speak on Hashem's behalf. My heart has the ability, on behalf of Hashem, my heart says inside of me, on Hashem's behalf, search for my face, search for my countenance, try to have a relationship with Hashem. That's what my heart says to me. But I have two hearts. Right? The Torah says, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, with all of your hearts. Sometimes it says libcha, one heart. Sometimes it says two hearts, because I have two hearts. I have a heart that sees negative, that sees negatively, that biases me in a negative way, a fearful heart, an angry heart, a constricted heart, a heart of stone. But I also have another aspect of my heart, which is called a heart of flesh. And that is my Yetzer Tov, the loving heart, the heart that wants to connect to others, that wants to include others, that wants to do what's right. L'cha Amar Libi, my heart says, Hashem, on your behalf, do what's right. Come in front of me. Be a good person. The spies, they engaged the side of their heart, which was anger, which was hatred, which was negativity, which was fearful. Women have the natural capacity to engage the side of their heart, which is positive, which is loving, which can see the good. How does a man, or, you know, women are also human, they also have a side of fear. How do we engage our hearts to see the positive? How do we engage our hearts in a way that's positive? So, there's a pasuk, and I believe I pointed it out recently. The pasuk says, on one hand, that's in Parshas Shlach for us this week in Eretz Yisrael. For whoever's in Chutz La'aretz, it will be next week. But the pasuk says, which means to say, we're supposed to have the tzitzis. We look at the tzitzis remind us. We look at the tzitzis, there's a looking, there's a seeing of the tzitzis that reminds us of the mitzvahs. Don't go after your heart and after your eyes. Right? Sometimes the heart motivates us in a negative way. It draws us to do something wrong. And then we see things based on that. Right? So the pasuk says, don't follow your heart, and after your eyes. The heart sometimes motivates us negatively, but we need to reverse that. And the way that we reverse that is the secret inside of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Somehow by looking at the tzitzis, and the word tzitzis, as is pointed out, is from the word meitzitz min acharakim, the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim. Hashem is peeping through the holes at us, looking through the cracks. It means to look. Tzitzis is something that we look at. Looking at the tzitzis somehow reminds us, changes our heart, brings us to love, instead of seeing things in a way which is yetzer hara, in a base desire way. So how do we do that? So the Medrash tells us a secret. And the secret is that on the tzitzis, one is supposed to place a blue string. A kind of psil tcheles. The corner is supposed to have a string of blue. And what is the concept of the blue string? So Chazal tells us, and it's very famous, that Amar Yimeir, ma nishtana tcheles mikol tzivayinim. What's special about this color blue? From all of the colors, happens to be my favorite color. But what's special about it? Why does the Torah single it out? Shatcheles demel lerakia. The Medrash says it's slightly different than we're used to. In the, I believe it's Rashi, he says the blue is, looks like the sea. The sea looks like the sky looks like the Kisei HaKavod. But it says here, Shatcheles Damele Rakia. The Tcheles string is the same color as the sky. The Rakia Damele Kisei HaKavod. We find that the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of Hashem's glory, was this color. And Shenemar vayiras elokei Yisrael. How do we see this? How do we know this? We know this because the pasuk tells us in a description of what Klal Yisrael saw at Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. They saw Hashem sitting on His throne, and they saw that the foundation upon which the throne was standing was a livnas hasapir, was like was stones or bricks of sapphire. And the description is Kitayar Harakia, like the pure blue sky. Or maybe the sky at sunset. Maybe it's purplish. But the color of blue that sits, you look at it and it moves you. It moves your heart. It reminds you of something. It reminds you of the sky. It reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod, of Hashem's throne of glory. Which means to say, even deeper, it reminds us of the heavens opening and Hashem appearing at Mount Sinai and giving us the Torah and saying, Hashem is saying to us, I love you. I want you to be my kids. Here's what I want you to do. I want to have a relationship with you. So the tzitzis reminds us of our relationship with Hashem. And Hashem is the king, but we're his kids. Now, what's interesting is, there's another medrash. Medrash is earlier in Bamidbar, and speaking about the Aron. The Aron, the Ark of the Covenant. And that's where Hashem speaks from, right? When Moshe and Aaron, bringing you back to Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, they go to the Oil Moed. Why do they go to the Tent of Meeting? Why do they go there? Because Hashem's voice speaks from between the Kruvim, from between the cherubs on the ark. And what's inside of the ark is the Torah. Hashem's voice speaks from the Torah. Hashem's voice speaks from the center of the Avodah. Hashem's voice speaks from the Kruvim have to do with our relationship with Hashem when we're in good with God. So they were in an embrace. Hashem speaks from between them, but Medrash points out, interestingly, that what was the covering of the Aron? Meaning, when they would travel, so each of the Kelim, each of the different vessels of the Mishkan, they would cover them with an Or Tachash, which was a certain type of leather of a certain kind of animal. But the Aron was covered with that kind of leather piece, but it was also covered with a huge piece of cloth of tchelas, of this blue dyed wool, which was the color of the heavens, of course, right? When they would travel, they would put upon the aron, says the Medrash, not a purple dyed wool, not a red dyed wool, but specifically this blue dyed wool. The wool which was made completely of tchelis. Lama shat tchelis, daimel yam, says the Medrash, the exact same thing. Oh, here it says daimel yam. The tchelis is similar to the sea. Yam daimel rakia. It's the same color as the sky. Rakia daimel kisei HaKavod. Shenemar mimal rakia shal roshim kamar evan sapir. Brings our pasuk. So the Aron was also covered with this blue. You see the tchelis, you see that color, it brings you back. Brings you back to Matan Torah, right? What's inside of the Aron is the Luchos, the Ten Commandments. The original Ten Commandments had on it the entire Torah. All of the entire Torah was written there. So what's the idea? Says the Medrash, this teaches us that the Aron itself was similar, served the same function as the Kisei HaKavod, as the throne of Hashem's glory. It was completely similar to it. If you would look at them traveling, you would see the Aron, you see the Torah, you would see the Kisei HaKavod, you would see Hashem's divine throne. It would be brought back your heart will be moved and brought back to seeing only our relationship with Hashem. Only our relationship with Hashem. So, what do we learn from this? What do we see from here? It's an amazing thing. It's that our heart, of course, affects what we see. Right? That's what happened with Miriam and Aaron. They had a certain way of thinking about things and it affected how they saw things. They saw something negative about Moshe, but it was wrong. They had to be brought to the Aron to be told, you are missing something about the relationship that I have with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Aron is all about relationship. The speaking of Hashem is all about relationship. And when the relationship is missing, or when there's a mistake in the way we're seeing things, it's a mistake in my heart. My heart is causing my eyes to see things wrong. And the lesson here is, I need to get my eyes to help my heart see things right. You look at your tzitzis. The eyes can be used to look and be reminded that I am connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uzchartem is kol mitzvos Hashem. The tzitzis remind me of all of the mitzvos, of all of the commandments, which are all about my relationship with Hashem. It's all about relationship with Hashem. If I can get into that space of love that women naturally have, women naturally have a love for Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is about a relationship with Hashem. And by the way, when you're in a deep relationship with somebody, it becomes more challenging. Yes, in Eretz Yisrael, there are more challenges, different kind of challenges. You want to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You gotta pull yourself together. But the idea is, I gotta keep reminding myself, I gotta keep looking for the thing that, what did the B'nai Slavchad see? They saw, everyone's getting a piece of Eretz Yisrael. They saw that. They saw that. And it moved them. And they also wanted a piece. They loved Eretz Yisrael. They were affected by what they saw in a positive way. And that's what we have to do. We have to look at the tzitzis. We have to look at the mitzvahs. We have to look at the Aron. We have to look at the Torah. We have to look at the sky. We have to always be seeing the Kisei HaKavod. We have to always be seeing Har Sinai, the revelation at Sinai. That's what we need to see. We need to see that we are His kids. He's ready to show us that's what we are. And that's who we are. All we have to do is read the Torah. Open our eyes. Let that penetrate to our hearts. Hashem's gonna take, how does Hashem take away our heart of stone? How does Hashem move us? L'cha amar libi, so that, to the point where our hearts speak on His behalf. When we let Him, when we open our eyes and learn His Torah, when we open our eyes and we talk about the Torah, b'ficha uvilvavcha, it's in our mouth and in our hearts. We're looking at it. The eyes affect our hearts. The mouth affects our hearts. How we speak about it, what we speak about, what's important to us. What do we talk about at the Shabbos table? We're talking about our relationship with Hashem. We're talking about how Hashem loves us. That is what moves our heart to say, I want to do His mitzvahs. I want to have a relationship with Him. I want to see the good of Eretz Yisrael. I want to bless you. I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us that we should indeed see the right things. We should indeed see Hashem's Kisei HaKavod, His Aron, the place where He speaks to us. And it should hit our hearts and move us until all we see is the good. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.